Welcome back to In Ohio Country Today podcast, part of the In Ohio Country Today TV show. I'm Big Dan Wilson, and this week our guest is Dr. Dave Shoup. And Dr. Dave is in beautiful Wayne County this morning. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dan. It's not really beautiful here right now. I can't hardly see 100 yards due to the heavy fall this morning.
That's
and
right.
It's damp and wet. I'm one of those guys who would rather just go down to 25 degrees, stay frozen, and go all winter that way. It's easy on people, and it's easy on our hogs.
Yeah, no question about it. Dave is the former president of the Ohio Pork Council, and we're going to talk a little bit about the 2024 Ohio Pork Congress happening in beautiful Lima, Ohio. But first, Dave, let's talk a little bit about your background.
Well, Dan, that's kind of a long story because, obviously I grew up on the farm back in, mostly in the 70s. I was born in the early 60s, but, at age 10, my dad said, "Mom, you keep them till age 10, and then I get them." So at age 10, started working on the farm. And at that time, we were primarily actually more cattle than hogs. And my uncle and my father and my grandfather decided to move to concentrating on hogs and just run a few cattle at that time. So, that was back in the days where the sows were out on open lots. We just started to move some into some stalls to where they could have their baby pigs. So I went off to college then in 1979 and did a degree in agricultural economics. Originally, I'd gone to school to pre-vet medicine, animal science. And after 2 years, I actually decided that maybe I didn't want to do all that schooling at that point. So I switched over to agricultural economics. Took classes, a lot of cash classes in accounting, took some farm appraisal, farm management, grain marketing. And I actually did an internship with Dow Chemical and decided, sales probably wasn't for me. I changed all my courses. I went back. I did my pre-vet coursework in a couple of quarters, applied in the spring of 1983 and entered veterinary school in the fall of 83. Probably the only guy in my class, had a swine class, my second year. And Dr. Bill Ingalls asked, how many of you want to be in this class and how many of you are required? And I was the only person to raise my hand. Huh. And I was kind of disappointing, he passed away a couple years ago, but they've got a memorial for him. He was just a tremendous man as the state swine extension veterinarian. And I looked up to him very much. And he was the guy that lined me up with some internships in swine medicine in both Indiana and out in Illinois. When I went to college, I really had no intention of coming back to the farm. I wanted to be a veterinarian. And so, my first practice job was in the Lancaster County, Pennsylvania area with a couple of Ohio State grads out there. I worked in dairy swine and did a little bit of small animal. And, I liked it just fine, but when it came time to buy in out there, I just felt a pull back to Ohio. So decided to come back here, and I practiced here in Wayne County then for a little over a year until my daughter was born. At that time, veterinary school was, we still had Marysville up there, so we could get out and do some ambulatory work. Dr. Glenn Hostis was leading the food and animal department at that time. Bruce Hall was very good hands-on. He had a lot of good practice experience. Michael Rings, there's some names from the past.
Mm-hmm.
I actually left practice in 1990 then, after my daughter was born, and decided I wanted to go do some graduate work at the OARDC, now called the Worcester Campus of the Ohio State University.
Right.
But yeah. It's still known as the, back in the day, it was the Ag Experiment Station, the research arm for the College of Agriculture. And in the Department of Food, Animal Health, and Research program, if I was willing to be a practicing veterinarian, take care of the herds and flocks across the state for 1 year, they were willing to go ahead and provide a stipend and tuition to provide a PhD for me in veterinary preventive medicine. And so I worked with Dr. Linda Sates. She's world-renowned coronavirus researcher, and also Dr. Daryl Jackwood. Primarily immune studies with Dr. Sates, and most of the molecular biology with Dr. Jackwood. So I worked in coronavirus research, vaccine development.
Wow.
So, you know, when it comes to COVID being a coronavirus, when the administration in Washington, D.C. finally started talking about herd immunity, there's two ways to establish herd immunity. You can do it with vaccination, or you can do it with natural exposure. And veterinarians know that when you're in population medicine. There's diseases that are going to be introduced to our herds, mm-hmm. and we need to stabilize to those things. And so, you know, the vaccines for COVID, you know, I know there's tension out there on those or so, and I let each person make their own decision on what they feel is right. But I did a lot of work in research that way, and I'm glad I did. The disease I was working with at that time was called TGE, transmissible gastroenteritis. And in the industry now, it's been replaced with another coronavirus called porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, which took millions and millions of hogs back in 2013 and 2014 in this country, and continues to be a problem primarily in the winter in this country. I look back to when I was a kid. I mentioned, you know, that we raised sows on open lots and some in pasture. And there was a reason back in the 1970s that we started moving our pigs inside. You know, for environmental reasons. You know, we had a couple blizzards that hit us in 77 and 78 here. In Ohio, you probably remember those.
Oh, yeah.
where we had a 60-degree temperature drop in an hour. And at that time, our finishing hogs were on open lots. And my brother and me jumped in a four-cylinder car with 100 pounds of shelled corn in the back. And we didn't have a cell phone. And we left at 10 o'clock in the morning. My mom didn't see us till 8 o'clock that night. And all we headed out with was about 12 gallons of hot water to go thaw water cups out. And the cold weather was hard on the pigs. My dad was stuck in Pennsylvania because he was a truck driver. And we lost a lot of pigs through that blizzard because we couldn't keep the barns warm.
Wow.
And so I think we've made some good things for, you know, for animals. But I think that, you know, our National Pork Board is doing some research and some audits to show that our industry is a very sustainable, carbon friendly, actually carbon negative, with certain practices on how we apply our manure and what we do with it. That, I mean, I think our industry is very environmentally friendly, and the more research they do, we'll justify that more and more. And I think the restaurant chains are very open to that. Obviously, sustainability is a buzzword, has been for quite a while now, and our industry is sustainability friendly.
Yeah, no question. No question about it. Yes,
yeah.
Definitely. You're listening to the In Ohio Country Today podcast, part of the In Ohio Country Today TV show. And our guest today is Dr. Dave Shoup. And Dr. Shoup is the former president of the Ohio Pork Council. And he is a veterinarian by trade and raises hogs with his family up in beautiful Wayne County, just outside of Worcester. You know, Wayne County is mainly known for the dairy.
After the hard financial times of 1998 in the swine industry, you know, I'm identified it as a 98er. Some people, you know, you're like, oh, you're a 98er. Because I remember when hog prices went to 6 to 8 cents, and it seemed like you're in it forever. Mm. And sows would sell for $20-$30. Because that removed most of the swine industry from Wayne County. Fortunately, with God's blessing and how my dad and uncle were set up at that time, we were able to ride through it. You know, I asked my uncle one time, I said, these pigs aren't worth enough to even, they won't even pay for the feed. You know, shouldn't we just stop breeding? And he said, no, we have to have pigs available on the other side. This won't last forever. This will come out.
Wow.
But it did take a lot of people out of the industry up here. And there's still a few, but we've been probably the primary producer in here since that time.
You know, as former president of the Ohio Pork Council, you're well aware of the strength of the pork industry here in the Buckeye State. Let's talk a little bit more about what's happening in Ohio in the pork industry.
Well, in the last 10 years, there's been considerable expansion, especially in the western part of the state. We have excellent veterinarians in the state of Ohio that concentrate on swine. We have a great group that are very good on swine health. And these veterinarians communicate back and forth because disease in areas where there's swine, there's going to be disease issues. And there's still PRRS and PED that we need to be concerned about. And, you know, veterinarians communicate. If PRRS is in an area, then I can even know about it because of the PRRS control group. I can get a text if somebody identifies PRRS, so I know what to watch out for. Mm. And we like being isolated here in Wayne County. That's one of the biggest advantages that we have. But, you know, when it comes to productivity in our industry, and I think in Ohio, I think we've shown some really leaps and bounds on you know, improved genetics, but improved management. There's, you know, hog prices are not good right now. 2023 was the worst year economically in the swine industry, and that includes 1998, because 2023 was much longer, prices much longer depressed. So there is some sow liquidation going on in the country, but productivity per sow is matching that liquidation. So productivity and pigs produced is still, looks like what it was based on the last pig report, that, it's just kudos to how our swine farms are managed now. You know, we can get coaching from our genetics company, our nutrition companies. There's consulting veterinarians. And there's so much benchmarking you can do through record systems anymore. So you know where you stand with the rest of the industry. But it's still, I mean, we have a supply. You know, it's great to have a good supply, but there's exports are carrying us right now. Unfortunately for the countries that have gone through struggles, the European Union, every country in Europe except for Spain, Mexico has very high prices right now because their production's down. Canada's liquidating just like we are. Their hog prices are actually lower than ours.
Wow.
We know China has a lot of sows, and they're going through a disease called African swine fever right now that has decimated their industry. And it's spread throughout Southeast Asia. It's what we identify as a foreign animal disease. Foot and mouth disease would be another one.
Right.
And when countries become positive for these type of diseases, then they lose their export markets. And at this point, I would say if there's something that keeps the swine industry awake at night, it's these foreign animal diseases, African swine fever, foot and mouth disease, knocking on our shores.
Mm.
As I said, you know, 7%, you know, some exports are up 7% this year. Probably $50 to $60 per hog is due to comes from the value of exports. And if we lost our exports, it would suppress our prices so much. It would drive multiple people out of business very quickly.
Do you see exports expanding in the next 24 months, maybe?
Well, I'm not an economist, and that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to hear Steve Myers talk about on the second day of the Pork Congress, what we're looking at as far as an economic update.
Yeah, he's the lead economist, if you will, for Ever Ag, right?
Yeah, he keeps up on things very well. I mean, he's got a team, and they kind of work together, and they specialize in different areas. But, you know, it would seem that with the European Union being down in production, they used to be a heavy exporter.
Mm-hmm.
But they now just produce domestically because they don't produce enough pork and their prices are very high. We are a much lower cost producer and our prices are much lower. So we are gaining some of that export market. You know, Mexico's price is very high. So they're our biggest importer right now of our pork. So as these prices go up, now, you know, China is the biggest consumer of pork in the world. They have a very depressed price right now. It's hard to know what's going on in China. With African swine fever being an issue in China, not something we would do in our country. When a pig gets sick, they go ahead and eat a lot of them. My understanding is they eat them and rush into market quick before they die. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to cause a glut of pork. And this is just what I've read, but it makes sense. That's why their price is depressed right now. But, you know, our industry is kind of built right now on exports. If we didn't have the export markets that we have, then a lot of producers, our pork production would have to go down greatly. So I want to go back to African swine fever a second. There is our national organization, National Pork Producers Council, National Pork Board, are making it an emphasis to work in Washington and to educate the public to help do everything you can to keep this disease out of the country. I was in Puerto Rico last spring, and a guy tried to bring a sausage sandwich back from Puerto Rico, and they made him throw it in a trash can. And that's mainly because in the Western Hemisphere, only Dominican Republic has African swine fever at this point. But that's how close it is to us.
Wow.
And, you know, it gets to Puerto Rico, and I think we've got an agreement that if we can show that it's held in Puerto Rico, that we're not going to lose our export markets on the mainland. But there's a lot of moving parts with the USDA and our national organizations if it got in this country, foot and mouth disease, they figured it cost $10 billion to get rid of, because it affects all cloven hoof species, sheep, goats, cattle, hogs. African swine fever just affects swine, but we move a lot of pigs across this country, and if we didn't identify it quickly, it would cause a real problem, and there is no good vaccine for it.
Mm. You're listening to the In Ohio Country Today podcast, part of the In Ohio Country Today TV show, and our guest is Dr. Dave Shoup, and Dr. Shoup is the former president of the Ohio Pork Council, and he farms with his family, raises hogs up in Wayne County. And one of the reasons why we've got you on the air today on our podcast is to talk about the upcoming Ohio Pork Congress. You know, one of the things that you mentioned about some of the speakers there, some of the interesting topics that you just discussed, you're going to have people from all over the United States talking about safeguarding the future of pork, addressing the pork demands, political strategies, economic updates, and of course, our own Brian Baldridge, director of the Ohio Department of Agriculture, will also be there. But let's talk about this year's Pork Congress happening in Lima, Ohio, February 6th and 7th.
Okay, so you went through some of the speakers there. Tuesday is used to be called the Swine Health Seminar, and we would have it in March. And in recent years, the board decided to let's go ahead and bring the two together and make this a 2-day event. It gives more bang for your buck for the vendors that show up and support the show. And I would say Tuesday is while it's aimed at everyone, it would be something I would find very interesting for our employees and understanding what's going on in the industry as far as food animal disease, the necessity for biosecurity, and maybe give some ideas on, how to increase productivity. But to bring them up to speed on just what's going on with Dr. Scott Dees coming to talk about PRRS. He's world renowned on PRRS. There's going to be some talk about African swine fever, but there's some, you know, management type things there that maybe some employees could take back home and understand and use. I look at Wednesday being more of a stakeholder, owner type topics, things that your typical employee may not have to deal with. We're talking about the future of pork and pork demand and political strategies and then the economics of it. While I think both days would be good for everybody, and I hope people can come both days, I know our employees are probably going to gravitate toward the Tuesday, just because the topics are more what fall in line with what they deal with each and every day.
Well, let's talk about those networking opportunities. It's more than just the owner operators in the hog industry, but as you mentioned, the employees. How important is it to have everybody there? I mean, somebody's got to mind the farm, obviously, but the networking opportunities, the professional development opportunities, all that happens at the Pork Congress.
Oh, it sure does. Some of the greatest learning happens in the hallway and not in the sessions.
Yeah.
finding out what other people are doing.
Yeah.
You know, it works out that way, and I found out from the American Association of Swine Veterinarians Conference each year, so it happens in those hallways, too. You develop relationships, and you can ask questions of each other, how you're dealing with this or that. And that can help happen with employees, too. I think when you send employees to a meeting like this, they feel valued. It can be a grind, and we're finding that in our industry right now. Just finding employees who want to work in pig barns. It's very difficult, and especially here in Wayne County. Since COVID, post COVID, wages have inflated tremendously, and we need to match them to be able to protect the people that we have. But, you know, here again, there's more than the money that employees make. They want to feel valued. And they go to a meeting like this, and they just have a time to relax. And, yeah, there's things that need done at home, and we'll probably get done at 4 to 6 a.m. instead of 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. and the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And it's hard to ship things 2 days, but usually we can ship things what normally is a Tuesday. We can ship it to a Monday or a Wednesday and still get it done. But it to send the team for 2 or 3 days in a row, that won't work. But to get them away for a day, it's all good stuff.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
What's good, too, is we want to give you our congratulations because you will be the Pork Industry Excellence Award winner for this year. So our congratulations to you and your family. Why don't you talk a little bit about that award?
Well, thanks, Dan. I guess I'm humbled by it. We have so many good people, and I think of people who have won the award in the past. And, I think of a guy like, a guy like Dick Isler, and he put 40 years into as the executive director, and he's the guy that worked on getting me on the board. When the FIP, when the volunteer checkoff took off, he visited so many people to get buy-in to that program, so that we could continue to be heard in Washington. But, when I was called and told about that, it took my breath away because, I think there's just so many people deserving, and I can't do what I do. I was able to get away and serve as the president and serve on the board for 12 years, but I could only do that because we had good employees back here. And I had a very supportive wife, back here that helped take care of things. My brothers and others on the farm. It's just, it's one of those things. I guess I had a chance to serve. So I served, and I'm grateful for the award, but, I think, I just want to give all praise and glory to God for that and how I've been blessed by the people that I've been able to meet because of serving on the board.
Amen. Well, it sounds like it's well-deserved. And as you mentioned, you can't do it alone. You've got great family support. And, it starts at home. There's no question about it. And one of the cool things is that this industry has that support group. It seems like it's a very tight-knit community here in the Buckeye State, where everybody is uplifting everybody. It's not just who's doing what over here and over there and that part of the state, but it's a very tight-knit community, the Ohio pork producers. And once again, our congratulations to you and your family for that Industry Excellence Award. And we look forward to seeing you. Once again, the Ohio Pork Congress taking place in Lima, Ohio, February 6th and 7th at the beautiful Lima Veterans Memorial Civic and Convention Center. Dr. Dave Schaub has been our guest, the former president of the Ohio Pork Council and currently raising hogs with his family up in Wayne County. We've been talking about his involvement here in the pork industry in the Buckeye State, as well as the annual Ohio Pork Congress. Dave, once again, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dan, and God bless your day.
God bless you too, Dave. And for more information, as always, you can check us out on the web at InOhioCountry.com. We'll have a link to the Ohio Pork Congress there. You can also go to their website at OhioPorkCongress.org or, of course, the OhioPork.org website for more information.